Kenny. I was on mute.
Oh.
Now I'm not muted.
Good, 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 good. We don't need to mute anything. We pretty much just say whatever we think here on a Wednesday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern. We are streaming live right now, goodstuff.fm/live. I also added a neat little live notification thingy to morningshow.am. So you can go there as well at around this time. There will be a link to go to Good Stuff. That's what you do. How was your Tuesday? How was your day off of the show?
It was so boring, Kyle.
Yeah?
Really? I got nothing done.
Oh, well, you might be a little better off than Lee Sedol, which is today's top story right now, Kenny. I'm going to preface this, though, with a couple of facts. In 1952, a computer beat a human at tic-tac-toe. Then in 1994,
I could beat a human at tic-tac-toe, Kyle.
Yeah, but you're not a computer. You are not a computer.
I'm not a computer.
Maybe you are now, Garko. Then in 1994, it trumped another human at checkers. And then in 1997, IBM's Deep Blue computer beat the chess champion Garry Kasparov at chess. Now, today, today at 1 p.m. local time in Korea, around 4 a.m. London time, Google's Alpha Go computer took on the legendary Lee Sedol at the ultra-complicated board game known as Go, and won after 3.5 hours of play.
This Go is the one, it's the game board and the black and white pieces, right?
Correct. Yes.
And you're like jumping over each other and you're like trying to go into a corner, not in a corner and stuff like that.
Well, it's called Go, not corner. So, I mean, I've never played it. Have you played it?
No, I think I've seen it in those travel packs. Like you get the five games in one so that you can play on the magnet board in the car.
Sure.
While you're on the 16,000 hour road trip.
Ooh, I feel so sick.
Yeah.
I have not played as well. But
I am not a professional chef.
I am not a professional. I don't think I have that one over here anymore.
Oh no.
All right. This particular match was a close one right up until the end when Lee's hand started to visibly shake and he began to knock his fingers against the table. And
was
eventually,
he sick?
The computer
Lee?
Won. The computer won because he, one, doesn't have to go to the bathroom. Two, doesn't have to eat by default. So, yes, for a 4 hour game, imagine a computer playing Monopoly. They would kick our butts.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So Lee, he forfeited because he was shaking at the board. Is that it?
This is speculation.
Or he lost. He realized the impending doom.
I believe he knew
what was going to happen.
Exactly. I believe that is the case. Yes. It's whatever the Go equivalent of checkmate was.
He knew that if he beat the computer would murder him.
I guess maybe he had to go.
Ha.
Let's look at today's headlines.
Do it.
These are today's headlines.
Project Phi. Kyle's favorite network is ditching the invite system 10 months after Google unveiled its mobile network, which let consumers pay only for the amount of data they use each month. The company is opening access to everyone inside the United States.
All right. That's huzzah. Not bad. Huzzah. Huzzah. I
took a look at this and I didn't do it because I don't want a Google phone just yet.
A Nexus. Yeah, you're right. So that's one of the stipulations here. You've got to have a Nexus phone for it to work on Project Phi, obviously, and that's the only one that you can bring over. So I'm on it. Like you said, I'm on it. Right now, we talked before the show started about me having some weird battery life issues going on, so I got to dig a little bit deeper into this. as to why that's happening. I don't think it's Project 5. I think it potentially could be. You don't know.
Well, who knows? But Kyle, Project 5 connects the cellular networks of both T-Mobile and Sprint, switching between the two to offer customers the best possible connection.
Yep. And that was
ExxonMobil.
That was your idea that it has something to do with Sprint. So I'll figure it out. I got it.
No, Kyle. No, we're moving on. Okay. ExxonMobil today, or I guess yesterday, said it would start accepting Apple Pay as a form of payment.
Yes. Well, you know, their gas and their cars and you're kind of driving along.
Well, they said they'd accept Apple Pay as a form of payment at around 6,000 gas stations around the U.S., something that Apple CEO Tim Cook had said was coming down the company's first quarter earnings call. However, these Apple Pay payments won't be tapped to pay unless, unlike the experience at almost every other point of sale system that works with Apple Pay. Hmm. This will be integrated into Exxon's existing Speed Pass Plus app, which is free to download and uses your geolocation to pull up local pumps. A customer can drive up to the pump, enter the pump number with the Speed Pass app. Speed Pass Plus app. Gosh, man, that's hard. And use his or her thumbprint to authorize payment through Apple Pay. So you're using Apple Pay, but it's through the app rather than just pointing your phone and using the wallet.
Correct. So if you've ever used the Apple Pay integrated Starbucks app, I am probably sure it works that way as well.
Moving on, Kyle, a young couple in China decided to sell their newborn online and use the money to purchase a new iPhone and a motorbike before it being tracked down by the police and being arrested.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Yeah, they quickly found an interested buyer who said he wanted to purchase the little girl for his sister.
No.
Like a doll.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Father and the online buyer met and completed the transaction. Chinese police managed to track down the young couple and arrested both the mother and the father. The judge sentenced the father to 3 years in jail, while the mother received 2.5 years of suspended prison sentence. And then here's the best part, quote, I didn't know this was illegal.
Oh, your Chinese accent is much improved.
I certainly will not try a Chinese accent.
Okay, good.
Speaking of accents, Kyle, Star Wars Battlefront March update is out now, and we got to test it last night.
That was a whole lot of fun. They've got a couple
new maps.
Yeah, neat maps and some burning things and no new game modes. But I'm looking forward to playing a little bit more of this. If you, I guess, are on PlayStation Network, I'm Kyle Roderick on there. You can just add me and we can obviously play along.
And you can add me. I'm Pizza Robotics. It's just like Twitter.
Just like Twitter.
Although I have something to say about that. After the break.
All right, Kenny. Your Twitter handle is brought to you by FeedPress. FeedPress is analytics and podcast hosting made for bloggers and podcasters. It's a simple, intuitive, and powerful RSS analytics and podcast hosting platform. They've got a neat little feature, too, that they just added to each of the episodes. You can mark them as explicit or not per episode, so you don't have to affect your whole feed if you are kind of, if you flip-flop in between using the flip-flop word or not. You get it? I got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kenny, let's face it. Let's just face it. You've probably thought about moving your aging feed from FeedBurner to something else. You just don't know what yet, right? That's got to be how it is. Well, FeedPress.
I don't know.
You don't know. You have no idea. FeedPress offers an automatic migration tool so you can make that transition with ease. Just answer a few simple questions and the rest is taken care of. Your feeds, subscriber data, all that stuff is transitioned into your brand new shiny FeedPress account, leaving you free to focus on what you do best, which is make content. So here's what you do. You go over to feed.press/morningshow. Today, you'll sign up and try it for 14 days without any contracts or commitments. I'll remind you in 14 days again that you should sign up and use the promo code morningshow during checkout to get 10% off your first year. So you don't have to buy right now, but definitely buy later because it does help the show. So show your support. feed.press/morningshow. Thank you to those guys for their support of the majority of the shows here at Good Stuff. And of course, Morning Show. Do you want to tell me now or you want to wait?
No. So I'm trying to get a Twitter handle I'm trying to get the Twitter handle Kenny Roderick.
Okay.
So that you and I can be kind of similar.
Right. You told me. Yeah.
Still nothing. I have done all of my passive aggressiveness at Twitter through their support. I've tweeted at them. I've been like, hey, check out this guy. He's not using it. Can I use it, please? And nothing yet. I'm hoping to maybe the hashtag that you mentioned on Monday, that's not going to catch on. You said Kenny like four times in the hashtag, so that's not going to work.
Well, true. I don't know. I don't know anyone at Twitter, so I can't kind of put my foot in the door.
Yeah. Nudge him in the right direction. No, that's all right. I'll keep trying.
I can't punch him in the gut. But right. If we've got anybody from Twitter listening right now, which I don't know if we would. I mean,
I don't think we would.
No, it's a little bottom of the barrel.
Maybe a bird.
Oh,
but not someone from Twitter.
A bird?
Pew. Yeah, someone who tweets. I snorted.
Peel.
Stop it. Don't. Okay.
Got some facts for you.
Yeah, good. Move on to the facts, please, stop pew-pewing at me.
Will do. Well, this is kind of bird related. It's bird adjacent. As of December 2013, there are 18,875 KFC restaurants in 118 countries and territories around the world. Did you know that?
Yikes.
It's a lot.
No, I've been to KFC like twice in my life.
Really? What's your go-to once or twice in your life?
I don't know. I got fried chicken. Okay. What else is there?
I don't know. I assume
Kentucky Fried Chicken. True. They don't have like hamburgers.
You can't buy Kentucky, so you may as well go for the chicken.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, please. Now, if you had to rank them, Kenny, would you think that the United States or China has more KFC restaurants?
By December 2013?
Yes, December 2013.
Oh, man. You'd think U.S., right?
You would think U.S., but no, China just slips right in there above the U.S. with 4,563 outlets, and the United States has 4,491.
You see, all of those 4,500 outlets in China, those are probably really new and really nice.
Oh, yeah. They're probably not sharing the space with a Taco Bell or with, anything else. They're just strict. Right. They are strict. And some Kentucky Fried
strip mall. You're afraid to go inside KFC.
Rat infestation. Yeah. Don't want any of that. Here's another fact for you, Kenny. The alphabet song, you know, A, B, C, D. You know that one.
Yeah, I know that one.
You know your ABCs. It was first copyrighted in 1835 by Boston-based music producer, or publisher, rather, Charles Bradley. And that's Bradley as in, like, putting the words Brad and Lee together into one word. And got the title, quote, the ABC, a German air with variations of the flute with an easy accompaniment for the piano forte. Which is
great.
It's a little long. It's a little long. So they shortened it to just ABCs.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Good thing the.
Except. Oh. But no, I was going to say, saying ABCs, if you actually spell out the ABCs.
Yes.
It's the ABCS. What? You skipped a bunch of letters.
I get it.
You get it. I'm glad. Sorry. I looked up some news story on KFC in China.
Okay.
And this was October of last year. KFC is failing in China because its fast food is way too slow. So KFC, you know, maybe in 2013 they were really good, but now
it's a crap.
So much.
Well, it's, you know, they want to make sure that it's still hot.
Maybe we took the lead.
Yeah. Ooh, that sounds really good. I want some combination of like, KFC and Panda Express going on. Just make like KFC. KFC, but orange chicken flavored.
Oh, oh my gosh. Kentucky orange fried chicken.
Yeah.
Kofsi.
That's it's almost like the that is almost like the German air with variations of the flute with an easy accompaniment for the pianoforte song.
Oh, that's great.
Yep. Kenny, an early American, or excuse me, let's start that one over. Early
very good.
Early American settlers called bison buffalo, as in B-U-F-E-L-L-O. It's almost like the jello a little bit.
Okay.
Due to the similar appearance between the two animals, the name buffalo stuck for the American variety at that point. But it's wrong.
Uh-oh.
The American bison, as in bison, which I guess is the nomenclature for scientific purposes,
right,
lives only in North America, while the two main actual buffalo species reside in Africa and Asia.
Okay, so when someone says buffalo wings,
that's not what they mean.
They're African and Asian delicacies.
That is wrong. Absolutely wrong. No, but
bummer.
See, I was duped. I was completely duped that way once at a Target. I should tell my story here. I was in a Target once, and I was looking. I was probably a poor college student, as you do, and we were looking for some sort of dinner item, and what was calling to me from the frozen section was a frozen pizza.
Pizza.
And you, of course, that's too cold. You can't go team cold pizza on a frozen pizza. Too cold. You got to heat it first, then cool it down. But right. I was in the frozen section, and I was kind of flipping through the pizza. It was like a library of pizza boxes, basically. The Three Guys, Three Questions just covered their library episode. So please go check that out. That's on the Good Stuff Broadcasting Network, goodstuff.fm/3G3Q. So I was in Target and looking through the pizzas, and they had one called Buffalo Mozzarella Pizza. And so let's dissect this a little bit. You would expect to get mozzarella cheese with what, a buffalo sauce accompaniment for the pianoforte?
Sure.
No, that was completely false and incorrect. And so I rip open that pizza when I get it home.
Pausing.
And it's actual mozzarella milked from a buffalo.
What?
Buffalo milk.
What?
Mozzarella. Now, the issue here is...
Who made the pizza?
Archer Farms made the pizza.
Whoa!
So Archer Farms at that point...
really far out of the way for this.
I know. So at that point, Archer Farms was well known, in my brain, for their buffalo mac and cheese, which...
Now you know why it tastes so good.
No, 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 no. No, 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 no.
Oh, no, no.
I couldn't find it in time. But this buffalo mac and cheese is actually buffalo sauce flavored, and it's incredibly good. So when I take the Archer Farms brand and I walk over to the frozen pizza section, I expect to get the full buffalo experience, when in fact, I ended up with bison milk. So...
What I'm a little concerned about is the bison mac and cheese, or the buffalo mac and cheese, is actually the same. It's bison milk, but that's what bison milk tastes like. It tastes like buffalo sauce.
Oh no, it's spicy. Like spicy bison milk.
Spicy
bison. Okay, got it.
Oh, good. I was going to do that. All right, good. All right, moving on.
Last one here, Kenny, for you. This is us covering a national day. Today's national day is National Crab Day.
Crab.
Crab. I love crab.
Just a crab pizza is the pizza for you and me.
Yes, it is. And crabs are generally covered with a thick exoskeleton. If you've never heard of a crab before, I don't know. Maybe you're from a part of the world that doesn't get crabs. That's not what I meant, but it could mean that. The exoskeleton itself is composed primarily of calcium carbonate. And these crabs are armed with a single pair of claws on the front, usually, typically. Now, Kenny, crabs are found in all of the world's oceans. So if you're near an ocean, if you're not just like in a remote part of Mongolia, you should be able to find a crab or partake upon a crab. I was actually in San Diego last week, or
that's far from Mongolia.
The weekend that just happened, and I went to a restaurant that has all you can eat crab on Wednesdays. So if we want to take a trip down,
but you went on the weekend.
I went on the weekend, yeah. So poor choice of the venue. Just made me
poor choice
really,
of the story too.
Yeah, well, Kenny, while many crabs live in freshwater and on land, particularly in tropical regions. I guess they like that warm water. Warm water. Now, crabs, Kenny, can vary in size from the pea crab, which is
I don't like that one.
P-E-A.
Oh, okay.
It's just a few millimeters wide.
Oh!
Tiny, tiny crabs. And now, there is a gigantic Japanese spider crab that can grow up to 4 meters or 13 feet in leg span.
Oh my goodness. That's a lot of crab.
Oh my goodness. That's a lot of macadamia nuts.
Yes, it is.
Well,
but can you imagine a 13 foot crab with claws?
I can.
I can
because hold on. Don't start talking because I'm talking right now.
Okay, go ahead.
There's the Pokemon, the Kingler. Remember Kingler?
Kingler.
He's the evolved of Krabby. You know, Krabby and the Kingler. Mm-hmm, and he's huge. He's bigger than Ash and Brock and
it's
Misty.
The Japanese.
Oh, geez.
Kingler.
Yeah. That's not it.
It's called the Japanese Kingler. Spider Crab.
Oh,
I'm Adam, and you're watching the Epic Wildlife Series.
We're coming back to this guy explaining wildlife.
If you ever find yourself crab fishing in Suruga Bay off of the coast of Japan, you might come across a species of marine crab.
Why would I be there?
Japanese spider crab.
That gosh, dude, fishing off dude,
Japan. Dude. Can you please use like a de-esser or backup from the microphone or something?
Yeah, right.
Gosh. Hurting my brains. Okay,
let's hear it though.
Now I'm looking at this crab right now, and it's rather unfortunate. If you would imagine a regular snow or Dungeness or king crab growing to the size of 13 feet across, you would expect those claws to basically be able to chop a car in half, right?
Yeah.
Now, the Japanese spider crab, unfortunately, has tiny little claws. Tiny
poor
little
guy.
Claws in front. It's really sad looking.
Now, I will say, this place that you went to in San Diego that has all-you-can-eat crab on Wednesdays, I think they just catch like 4 of these crabs, and they can feed the whole restaurant all day, unlimited.
Yes.
That's it. They only need 4 of these.
I don't think this would taste very good. I really don't. So...
Yeah, them tiny claws.
No, not at all. I don't want tiny claws. No, thank you. So I'm going to cover a couple of interesting crab dishes. Let's think about crabs in the food sense here. A crab cake, Kenny, is an American dish composed of crab meat and various other ingredients such as breadcrumbs, milk, mayonnaise, eggs, yellow onions, and seasonings. Do you like crab cakes?
I do like crab cakes, but. Ixnay on the mayonnaise,
Well, you know that's in your crab cakes.
Ugh.
You just don't want to believe it.
I don't want to. Yeah, as long as I don't see them make it.
Oh, come on, really? What?
The crab cakes can come through the door, but behind closed doors, no. I don't want any of that.
Yeah. Okay. Kenny, two
Where's
of the
music?
Two of the most common styles of Maryland crab cakes are known as boardwalk and restaurant. I suppose crab
cakes. Oh, geez. I wonder why.
Restaurant crab cakes? Boardwalk crab cakes? I don't know. It sounds like boardwalk and restaurant. Those are the two at the end of the Monopoly board, right? You buy those two and you're set, mostly.
Yeah, boardwalk and restaurant.
Pausing.
Boardwalk crab cakes are typically breaded and deep fried, which yummy. That sounds fantastic, while restaurant yeah. crab cakes are sometimes called gourmet crab cakes.
Ooh.
And they're prepared with no filler, and they're all lump crab meat. Served on a in like an open face sandwich or just on a platter, I guess. And I don't know if those are deep fried or not, but they're probably not breaded. They're just, you know, straight crab, man. right in the crab.
You're making me hungry for crab cakes.
Yeah, doesn't that sound so good?
Mm. It does, but I want to go to Maryland now and try both of these types.
Mm.
Ow, 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 ow.
Yes, please.
That's too far away.
It is pretty far away. Yeah, you're right. So far away, we wait for the crab. So go grab a crab. If you would, if you're interested.
Okay, we'll do, Kyle.
National Crab Day. Let me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look in the book. I'm going to let's see what the book says, because I've been referencing these national food days from just a website these days, because last time we tried the books, it just didn't work out very well.
Yeah, because you couldn't find the page fast enough.
Which is
that happen? Is that happening right now?
Pretty much right now. The book itself references this as National Crab Meat Day, separate from the animal itself.
Well, because it doesn't want you to think that it's just for crabs. It's what you eat.
It's
you don't
also
eat the whole crab.
It is also National Meatball Day.
Oh,
meatball!
So a crab cake is essentially just a crab meatball. Crab meatball.
Yeah, that is correct. Yes.
It is kind of related.
It is a little bit, yeah. But you don't typically bread your meatballs and deep fry them.
But you could.
That would be great. Did you know, Kenny? While crabs do not have teeth, they do have teeth-like structures inside their stomachs. Can you imagine if you had teeth in your stomach instead of in your mouth?
Yeah, I got punched in the face and I had teeth in my stomach.
Well, that's not what I mean. That's absolutely not what I mean. I just went to the dentist yesterday. That was a nightmare. I got
no. Good for you, child.
I got. Oh, hey, listen. I'm not a child.
Oh,
but I got all numbed up. And
what were they doing? Surgery or something?
Kinda. Yeah, they had to basically scrape the junk out of all my teeth. Pretty gross. Pretty gross. But
they had to numb you up for that?
Yeah.
Deep
clean. Deep cleansing clean. Then they.
That's like no. That they were purging your mouth.
Yes, basically they just ripped out all my teeth. Well, see,
pulled all of your teeth. They numbed you up. They pulled your teeth. They cleaned them separately.
Right.
Stuck them back in your mouth.
That would be
like,
great.
Like inserting them back in your gums.
It'd be like taking apart a car. They've got things in there. Yeah. I did tell the dentist, however, that I wanted cyborg teeth, and he just kind of looked at me with his head to the side.
He didn't get it.
No, he didn't get it. So. Anyway,
I'll go to the dentist and I'll say, can you guys just get rid of my human teeth and just give me crab teeth and just put them in my stomach?
In the stomach.
Yeah.
I would want my stomach to be a little higher up in my gut, though.
I could eat everything so much faster.
I don't think that's true. You would have to swallow it like a snake.
Yeah.
And then
I'd be Snake Man. I'm Snake Man.
What kind of
dentist? With crab teeth.
The dentist would have to do like open heart surgery in order to get your teeth in your stomach, though.
He's a doctor. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, that's true. That is absolutely true.
But not really.
No. So I was a little numb. I was numb for about 3 hours yesterday. I'm pretty much back to normal now. A little bit. I definitely had difficulty drinking. I drank a glass of water and it just all came out of the side of my mouth. Because they only numbed half of my mouth, like the left hand side, which kind of hurts right now. But
so it was like
I was like Two-Face, basically. Like, if you can imagine Two-Face, that was exactly me.
So instead of numbing your face, they just singed off all of your skin to numb it.
Yeah. Why did you cover me in Two-Face makeup? Well, it's just appropriate, you know. Why not? Why?
That's pretty good. That would be a really cool dentist for doing that.
Well, speaking of really cool, let's look at a couple of things that could or could not be cool in our upvote, downvote segment. Can a sculpture made from discarded sofas has won a 10,000 pound art prize? And I don't think the sofa itself is 10,000 pounds. This is over in Scotland, I believe.
Scotland.
Yes. Emily Banks. Binks? I guess I could say it depends. Depends on what my accent is at the time. If I'm a Japanese spider crab, maybe it sounds like this.
Binks.
There you go. It's kind of halfway in between.
Yeah.
Freaky. Emily won the award for a shelter she created from discarded furniture. It's basically a house made out of sofas.
Okay.
It's sort of what you would expect.
A house made of the sofas? Yeah. Upvote for that.
Well,
yeah. Like a padded room.
Go ahead and look at the image because it is shelter-like, but it is not house-like.
Oh, hold on a second.
Okay.
No. Downvote. Downvote for this. It's just the wooden pieces. None of the pads are on the sofas.
So
the cushions are gone.
Okay. All right. So it's not comfy. It's not the sofa fort of your dreams.
You can see through it. There's no hiding. There's no fort. There's no house involved here. I am going to revoke this 10,000. Oh, sorry. What should be a 100,000 pound art prize, because the title in this article has an extra zero.
Yeah, I noticed that. It's 1-0, 4 zeros at the end of it. In the title of the article. Unbelievable.
Oh, man. But yeah, revoke this because, come on.
I mean, okay. She's trying to get her Bachelor's of Arts in sculpture. Or, she graduated with her Bachelor of Arts in sculpture. So it's kind of...
She didn't sculpt anything.
It's more of an art piece. Listen, it's art. You can't judge art, Kenny.
No, it's fart.
Okay. Okay. All right. Can I stay in the middle?
No, you have to upvote or downvote. That's the name of the game.
All right, I'm going to say upvote because this is like a classy version of the sofa forts of yesteryear that I would want to put together. Plus, I wanted to just say this is sofa king cool.
Oh. Explicit tag.
Boom ba dum bum bow. Kenny, artist Jason Freeney has created anatomical sculptures. So more sculptures.
Yeah,
of a classic balloon dog and a bathing ducky. The balloon dog and duck models, which expose what might be inside of each object, are available to purchase from Mighty Jacks. So go ahead and click on the link.
Before I click on the link. We've got the ability to purchase them, so they're sculptures that you can buy. It's not just an art piece, and this is supposed to show you what's inside each of these things.
Yes,
like it's a cutaway.
Upvote
for that.
It is
looking at it now.
Slight cutaway. Yeah.
Okay. This is awesome. This is like the. The things that you find in the doctor's office.
Right.
Of how the bones go together and how the muscles connect and all that stuff. But it's for a balloon dog, like a balloon animal.
Right.
Balloon dog. And then a rubber duck. That's so cool.
You like these?
These are cool paperweights.
Yeah. So one side of the animal, kind of like you said in the doctor's office, is the filled out version of it, what it looks like on the exterior. And then there's one side of it that is completely transparent and shows the inner structure of the animal. So like the duck version's got some bones where the duck's head is. It's got a heart, some other rib cage things. It's interesting. You've never really
This is good.
You like it? All right, upvote. I'm going to go ahead and upvote this as well. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. So these are available to purchase, like I said, over at mightyjacks.com. You can go to our show notes and get a link for that if you are interested, or you can just take a look at it and see whether or not it's worth however much they want you to pay for it.
I'll find out. Go on to the next one.
We may all happily follow our robot overlords to disaster. A Georgia Tech researcher built the, quote, rescue bot to determine whether or not building occupants would trust a robot designed to help them evacuate a high rise in case of fire or other emergencies. An early press release and preliminary paper give some of the details of the study, which initially set out to find out whether high-rise occupants would be likely to trust these robots' instructions in an evacuation scenario. So what the researchers, I guess, were concerned with was whether or not the robot behavior could win or lose people's trust overall. Can you imagine?
When they're burning?
Yes. So the building's burning down. A robot enters and says, hey, guys, this way. And so you're supposed to follow this emergency guide robot. That is,
what?
It's
what do these people think?
It's printed on the side.
Do these people think that it was leading them to their destruction?
Well, potentially. So part of the study, what they did was they kind of built in these, different scenarios for what could go wrong with these emergency robots. So one of the times they stop speaking properly, or what it would try to do is lead them into one specific room, but the room inside looked like it had no windows or doors, I guess, easily visible. So the people had to kind of should I follow the robot? Should I not follow the robot? Is it just dumb? And should I, not worry about it? Should I go on my own way?
I trust it. I'm going for this.
Okay. All right. Did you see the image of what this looks like, though?
No, but I will tell you, I'm going to go backwards a story.
Okay.
And tell you that the balloon dog is $45.
That's not bad.
It's sold out.
Ow.
The rubber ducky is $20 and also sold out.
Okay.
Well, the guy's got Lego guys, like anatomy of a Lego man.
Ooh.
Also on his store, but also sold out. The only thing that is not sold out currently is the inside anatomy of a gingerbread man.
Now
that one's pretty good.
That's kind of cool.
Not as cool as the rubber ducky or the balloon dog, though.
Right.
So anyway, I'm gonna click on this link, find out what the robot looks like.
Okay. All right. It's
whoa! The heck is this?
If you can imagine a person that kind of directs an airplane while it's taxiing.
Yeah, with those.
Wearing like a belt. They're wearing a belt around them that says emergency guide robot and is on wheels, I guess. That's what this looks like.
Is it speaking to me, or is it just a silent mute robot?
No, it is speaking to you.
I'm a robot, follow me.
That's precisely what it's saying.
I wouldn't trust it because it can't go downstairs, maybe.
You're right. With these tiny little wheels, how did it go up the elevator? But if it's a fire, the elevators aren't working.
I'm not trusting this robot anymore.
I wouldn't trust this either. Give me some robot legs, maybe.
Yeah.
I would be more likely to follow. 13-foot
crab legs.
Yeah. Yes. The crab robot.
Oh, no.
Comes in to save you. It has tiny claws. Listen, the little tiny claws are for, they're lit up like this. They're for directing you.
And to open doors.
Oh, perfect. Well, the door they're showing in this image is one of those pushy ones. So you just. Push,
and you stop being push so it. Pushy, door. See what I did there?
Yeah, okay. I did. So you can read more about this study from Georgia Tech over in the show notes, morningshow.am, or of course, goodstuff.fm/morningshow/latest. The Beam Butter Sprayer, a device that melts and sprays butter in seconds. It's a hand.
Upvote.
Handheld. Do you like melted butter or you like cold butter?
What's the difference? What do you mean?
Temperature of the butter, bro.
For what? Eating?
Okay. Let's look at a couple of examples of what you could use this spray on butter for.
Everything?
No, not everything. The beam only melts
toast.
The amount of butter being used while keeping the rest of the stick solid. So you put the stick inside, I guess, maybe?
I don't know how this works. You stick it inside.
Yeah, of course. So the what they show here is the butter sprayer being sprayed on top of popcorn, which
Woo!
I've got to say, perfect. Because it's kind of this aerosol wide spritz onto your popcorn. Kind of like, you know, you remember those commercials for the salad sprayer things? It's like dressing in a Windex bottle.
Sure.
You haven't seen...
I don't remember that.
Okay, you haven't seen the dressing in the Windex bottle.
No, I've just poured Windex on my salad.
That's what I thought. Yeah, ammonia. Mmm. I'm on ya. So this goes onto your popcorn. It could go... where else? Could go onto your toast. Now, for toast, I like a nice, solid layer of milk
You don't
fat.
Like soggy toast, is no. what you're saying.
Well, I do like soggy toast, but I like my toast to be soggy in one place and then the rest of it to be crispy. I don't want an even I don't want an even sog, you know?
Okay.
No, they also show
Can I just say one thing before we upvote or downvote?
You always say one thing.
The best part about this is that you can have the butter sprayer. You're eating popcorn, right? You spray it on the top of it and you go, "Oh, good. I have a nice layer of buttered popcorn." Now, you probably didn't get the popcorn underneath because there's popcorn on top. So as you're eating the popcorn, you just pick up the sprayer, more butter.
Or what if you just ate a piece and then sprayed it in your mouth? And then ate a
there
piece.
There you go.
And then sprayed it
there
in your
you
mouth.
There you go.
Now, would you rather have the butter sprayer or something called a toasty knife, an ingenious heated butter knife? I feel like that's more my speed.
How does that work?
So they heat up the knife, and then you put the knife into the butter, and it cuts it like butter. Mm.
No.
No. Okay. All right.
Butter sprayer.
All right. Butter
sprayed on everything. Yeah, like toast, just, waffles,
you wake
Pop-Tarts,
up, you wake up the
cereal,
morning, you shower,
orange
you
juice,
put your arms up, and then you just give a little spritz
Tim
of
Tams.
Butter. Yeah. Oh, buttered Tim Tams. Come on. You can do Tim Tams with the butter on the middle. Hey, Kenny, VAT19, the online purveyor of unique gifts, recently dipped one of their oversized gummy candy offerings into liquid nitrogen and then threw it off a roof. I feel like this
I've seen this kind of stuff before.
This is a better use of that big gummy I gave you a long time ago.
It was like 10 years ago.
I know, right?
Oi.
Eee.
Because one guy, and in fact, it's a related link here. The guy who does the hot nickel ball. Remember when we did the guitar strings?
Yeah.
And he also does liquid nitrogen things.
Ah.
He dumped the gummy bear in liquid nitrogen. Or no, he dumped the nitrogen over the gummy bear. And then he shot it with a 12 gauge.
Ooh.
Which I think is better than dropping it off a roof.
But you get to watch the gummy shatter.
I don't know. I feel
ground.
Like VAT19, the guy, the purveyors of these gummy bears, I think they're taking advantage. I think they're going off the success of this other guy who did it already.
Okay.
They're copying.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, they've got, let's see, the world's largest gummy worm, 4,000 calories of gummy goodness.
That's it?
Yeah. Well, it looks... It's slightly suggestive, yes. The world's largest gummy bear. Giant gummy bear on a stick. Giant Coca-Cola gummy bottle. Spicy gummy peppers. Ooh.
Oh.
I feel like we should do that.
We should not.
Maybe a little bit of Food Friday. Oh, and then they've got the gummy pizza, but it's sold out. Gosh darn it. This is huge. 26-pound gummy python.
Whoa!
They've got, look at this, bringing this all together. They've got Gummy Bear Anatomy, $31.50. Now, that's cool.
Wait, where's the python?
It's a 7-foot-long gummy snake. It's at the bottom, towards the bottom.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
$149.
Yeah, that Bear Anatomy, that looks like it's Who made the? Did these guys make it, or did that other guy make it?
I'm not sure. I am not sure.
It looks exactly like the thing we just covered.
Yeah, same style. Well, I'll try and put all of these in the show notes just so you can check them out. Hey, that's it. Those are all the upvote downvotes. Nice work. I'm ready to play a game. How are you feeling?
I'm ready to game you. I don't know how that works.
Okay. Yes. Oh, no, you're right. Hey, it's the same person. Balloon Dog Anatomy Puzzle also awesome. Goes to that one. And they've got... you're right. No, it's sold out. There you go. All right. Kenny, let's play a game. All right, what are we playing?
All right, Kyle, first stupid game. I'm going to find out if you are a Taco Bell expert or not.
Ooh, yes.
All right, so are you ready for some questions?
Chipotle.
Not Chipotle, but Taco Bell. Taco Bell.
Ready.
All right, are you ready? Cool, great. I'm glad you're ready. What was the actual name of the Taco Bell Chihuahua? Was it Taco, Gordo, Rico, or Gidget?
Gordo.
No, Gidget.
Gidget?
Gidget.
You can't order that
Gordo,
on the menu.
Gordo was the name of the other astronaut from Rocket Man.
Yes, where is that one?
Hi, it's me again.
That was the one that didn't get on the thing, right? He lost out to Fred.
That's right.
All right.
Astronaut Fred Randall. Woo! Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Okay, Kyle, next question. True or false? Taco Bell once had a burger on its menu.
Oh, true. I'm going to go true because they did have fries as well.
It is true. The picture that they have here is it's lettuce, diced tomato, shredded cheese, and then just their beef. A patty, but just beef.
Oh, it's like a sloppy Joe.
Yeah, like a sloppy Joe, Taco Joe.
Yeah. Taco Joe. Good old Taco Joe.
All right, Kyle, next. What time is Taco Bell's happier hour? Is it 2 to 7, 5 to 7, 2 to 5, or 4 to 8?
4 to 8.
No, 2 to 5.
I wouldn't know that. I wouldn't know that.
The now defunct Taco Bell kids menu came with which extra? And the extras are Cinnabon Delights, the apple empanada, the cinnamon twists, or the cheesy roll.
Cinnamon effing twists.
Or as our younger brother says, cinnamon twisters. That's right. Kyle, here's the next one. What does al fresco style mean at Taco Bell?
Okay,
I'll give you options, or can you just answer it now?
It means you get fresh onions and tomatoes and cilantro kind of mixed all together in whatever dish you want.
Sure. The answer that it gives on here is it means they will replace the cheese, creamy sauces, sour cream, and or guacamole with pico de gallo.
Whatever.
You basically just said pico de gallo in it.
So, yeah.
You didn't say, but you put all the ingredients there. All right, cool.
That's what they do for me. So I don't know. Maybe they're doing it wrong. So.
Okay, Kyle, which Taco Bell sauce still exists? Diablo sauce, fire roasted sauce, hot sauce, or OMG sauce?
Hot. Hot is still there.
Hot is still there. You're right. Last but not least, what does it mean when you order something spicy green? Is it, do they combine guac and hot sauce? Do they add salsa verde, or do they make it hotter but healthier?
I'm going to say salsa verde.
That's right.
Okay. Interesting. I didn't know you could do that. I thought the salsa verde was on the side. Hey, whatever. Cheese. Let's do it.
That's the first one.
All right.
Good job, Kyle. I think you got like a B on that.
The first stupid game. Okay.
You're not an expert, but you could pull your own in a Taco Bell.
Okay. All right.
All right. Next one. Here we go.
Second stupid game.
How
well do you know airport codes?
Oh boy.
we played a satellite or airplane code game. You remember that one?
Uh-huh.
That was a good time. All right,
let's do this. Here we go. I'm going to read an airport code, and I'm going to give you four possible answers of where the code is from.
Okay. All right.
And I want you to pick them. I want you to do it kind of quickly, all right?
Okay.
Here we go. Number one, LHR. Is it Lansing, Michigan, La Ceiba, Honduras, London, or Lima, Peru?
Peru.
That is incorrect. Heathrow Airport. London Heathrow.
Okay. All right.
Next one, ORD. ORD. Is it Chicago, Orlando, Ontario, or Osaka, Japan?
Chicago.
Chicago is right. Next one, BOM. Is it La Paz, Bolivia, Tehran in Iran, not in Iran, Cologne, Germany, or Mumbai, India?
Mumbai.
Mumbai is correct. I don't know where the B comes from, but sure. B. B, Mumbai. LGA is the next one. Is that Louisville, Kentucky, New York, Calgary, or Sofia, Bulgaria?
Bulgaria?
No, it's LaGuardia, Kyle. New York.
I have not flown into there.
Here we go. BOS. Is that Banja Luka, Bosnia, Herzegovina? What a... Oh,
let's
my
go,
gosh.
Let's go Bosnia. Bosnia.
Yeah, No. I haven't said all the rest of these.
Oh.
Boise. Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Or Boston.
Let's go Boston.
Boston's right. See, I wanted you to hear the rest of those. All right, next one. TXL. Is this Dallas? Telluride, Colorado? I don't know how to read that.
Okay.
Berlin or Stockholm, Sweden?
Stockholm.
No, Berlin. But where's the TXL come from, Berlin?
I have no idea. That's weird. Yeah.
All right. BCN, or if you wanted to say bacon. Bergen, Norway. Belfast, Northern Ireland. Bilbao, Spain, or Barcelona, Spain?
It's Bilbo Baggins, Kenny.
Bilbo Baggins.
Let's do... What was the second one?
Belfast, Northern Ireland.
Yeah, that one.
No, it's Barcelona! NRT, Newark, New Jersey, Amsterdam, Tokyo, or Vancouver?
Vancouver.
No, faster! BEY, is it Beirut, Buffalo, Belize City, or Beijing?
Beijing.
Beijing is incorrect. It's Beirut, Lebanon. You're not doing so well, Kyle. ITO, is it Rome, Hilo, Hawaii, Halifax, Canada, or Bordeaux, France?
Canada.
Canada is incorrect. It's Hawaii. We got four more here.
Oh, my gosh.
AKL, faster. AKL, is it Fayetteville, Arkansas?
Yes.
You remember Fayetteville,
yes,
right?
Yes, Fayetteville. Let's go with that one, Fayetteville.
Okay. No, it's Auckland, New Zealand. SCA, is it Santa Fe, Seattle, St. Louis, or Miami?
Miami.
No, Kyle, come on, it's Seattle. SEA?
Whatever.
Okay, MEX, is it Melbourne, Mexico City, Madison, Wisconsin, or...
Mexico City,
yeah, that's right. YYC, is it Christchurch, New Zealand, Brussels, yes. Belgium, Montreal, or Calgary?
Ooh, Brussels.
Brussels is incorrect, it's Calgary. Sorry, I was lying, we have three more. XPZ, St. Tropez, France, Portland, Oregon, Ibiza, Spain, or Bangkok, Thailand?
Spain.
Spain, no, it's France. SFO.
This is San Francisco.
There you go. And last but not least, Kyle, IAD. Is it Delhi, India, Indianapolis, Washington, D.C., or Glasgow in Scotland?
Washington, D.C.
That's correct. You got 6 out of 17.
Oh, man.
You could fly to those places and that's it.
Oh, boy, I don't like that at all.
You did 10%. You did better than 10% of the people who took the quiz.
Are you serious?
That means you're, Kyle, that means you're in the 10th percentile.
Wait, is that good?
That's terrible.
Oh.
You want to be in the high. You want to be like the 90th.
Whatever. Whatever. I realize I'm bad at that. It's because they don't match up with what the actual name of the city is. Why would you do that? Huh? Why
Some of them do. SFO. But okay. Where's the O come from? I don't know.
Awesome.
It's the R port.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Well, well, Kenny, scientists are set to drill the dinosaur-killing impact crater for the first time. They're actually looking at the Gulf of Mexico here, rich in oil deposits. It's no stranger to offshore drilling, but for the first time in forever, an expedition, Kenny, of scientists is set to venture off the Yucatan coast to drill for core samples from the Chicxulub impact crater, where a six
Garco.
We can have Garco's help on this one.
Chicxulub.
Chicxulub. I'm going to try that one more time, Garco, please.
Chicxulub.
Chicxulub.
Yeah, it is. Ooh.
That's like a fun song.
Yeah, Chicxulub. Where a 6-mile wide space rock collided with the Earth 66 million years ago. The ensuing ecological disaster killed off half of the life on Earth, including the dinosaurs, and ultimately led to the evolutionary ascendance of birds and mammals, according to motherboard.vice.com.
Yeah, that's stretching it pretty thin there. Also, 65 million years, not 66. I don't know where a million years passed between me and my science class that I took.
That is true. Strange. Interesting.
This sounds cool. For them to find maybe pieces of the rock, I guess. Right? That's what they're trying to do.
Right, but maybe just to see what is happening at that location. At
impact site?
Yeah, because that's what the oceans and places like that are so mysterious to us still for some reason. It's right in our backyard, literally in our backyard baseball, but we have not explored it to its fullest extent. Like, everybody, look, Elon Musk is trying to get into space, but like, nobody's trying to get into the oceans. We're just dumping all our trash there. I feel like we need to just, you know, explore it a little bit closer. So,
all right,
drilling in the Gulf of Mexico is
Chicxulub.
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 We finally know why and how Mercury got its dark gray color.
And it's not what you think. I thought it was pizza, but...
It's not.
No, but it's not what I think.
It looks kind of like pizza, but it's an ancient carbon crust.
Oh, so it is crust. This is pizza.
A new study using NASA data has revealed the origins of the planet's unique look. It's got patches of carbon-rich material called graphite. It's basically the same stuff that's in a pencil, and it covers Mercury's surface, tinting the surface of that planet dark gray. So it's a big pencil.
It's a pencil planet.
It's a pencil planet. This is a pencil in space.
Pencil planet, got it.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. So you want to draw Mercury, maybe, a little bit.
I want to use Mercury to draw.
We'll fill all our pencils with Mercury. And then we'll...
I don't think that's how that works.
No? Well, I'm talking about the
temperature of my pencil is excruciatingly hot.
Yes.
Excruciatingly, too.
It can also measure the temperature. Because Mercury...
Melting my hand!
And the mind melter.
No.
Hey, okay. Well, that's all the news I've got, because I don't have anything
else. Well, nobody cares.
To cover. That's right. Nobody cares about that stuff, so... You can follow us on Twitter. We are Morning Show AM. I will let you know when we post a brand new episode. You can also check us out on Patreon if you'd like to support us a little more monetarily than just simply listening with your ears. You can go to patreon.com/morningshow. Please, it would help. It really would help. We're trying to cover the costs of running this show and buying food on Fridays, which, by the way, coming up here in just a couple days, Food Friday.
Woo!
I'm excited. What's can you give us a preview of what we're doing tomorrow? Or not tomorrow. Well, you can, hey, give us a preview of what we're doing tomorrow, and then I will give us a preview of what we're doing on Friday. We're, I've got it here in my hands. That's all you get.
What is it?
Yeah, I can't tell you.
I can't tell you.
Okay, great. So you have to tune in on Friday.
Oh!
Deed-lead-leady. You can follow Kenny. He's Pizza Robotics on Twitter. I'm Kyle Roderick. Let's get the F out of H. We'll see you on Friday. Until then, goodbye.
Bye, guys.
It's Morning Show with Kyle.